Well, good morning. Here is my question to start off today. Is this reading that we have from the Gospel of St. Luke, is it about Jesus or is it about Simeon and Anna? All right, thank you for giving an answer from the crowd. I appreciate that. Not a rhetorical question. See, Deacon Ansel, that shows that you are an elder of the faith rather than one of the kids, because the right sermon, you all know, in a children's sermon is what? What's always the right answer in a children's sermon? Jesus. Yep, it's always Jesus. Yep. So it is called the presentation of our Lord, not the presentation of Simeon and Anna. So yes, it is about Jesus, but I have found myself thinking a lot this week about Ed and Esther. I mean, about Gil and Emmy. I mean, about Kurt and Bonnie. I mean, about Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna speak from wisdom from God. Wisdom from years of worship and devotion and study. How much is lost when we neglect the wisdom of our elders? I have heard things in this past week about Esther Ballas that I had never known before. And of course now, I can't ask them about her. I cannot find out about her older brother that I did not even know existed until this past week. Our gospel reading this morning tells us that both Simeon and Anna were awaiting this moment. They had held on with the promise that this moment would come, that there was yet life for them to live, and in fact, perhaps the pinnacle of their life was yet to come. And yet, each must have had long lives prior to this moment, full of experiences that we do not get to hear about. What were their life's journeys that made them open to playing this role, role of the prophets of the Most High God, prophets of the Redeemer? What made Ed Ballas? Some of you know Ed Ballas. Ed Ballas, who died in 2007, he would come here every Tuesday to run the printing press, right? The printing, which is finally gone, right? He would come every Tuesday to run the printing press and every Friday to run the mimeograph machine. What made him do that? What made Esther decide that every Tuesday should be spent in the Sunday school office to make sure the Tuesday youth program went smoothly? What made Emmy so faithful and such a magnet for kisses on the cheek? What made Gil and Emmy spend most every morning in devotion, studying God's word together? What makes Henry wake up bright and early each Sunday morning to come here and check that the boiler really is working? By the way, it is. And in fact, what makes him come by every day of the week on his way to work to swing by just to make sure everything's okay, and then swing by on his way home to check again? What makes Pastor Freeze come here day in and day out, serving as a, quote, part-time pastor, while others his age, I won't say what that age is, sit back, relax, and watch some TV? What makes Deacon Doug wake up in the middle of the night with a fresh solution for how he is going to manage to both stream the funeral from Vegas and at the same time host a wedding here in this space? What makes Claudia and Jan and Willis and Bill all separately come to me to express concern for our immigrant neighbors and how we at Epiphany might accompany them. What makes Anne Fries get up every day and try her hardest to connect refugees, who, by the way, came here legally and are yet still being rounded up, to resources just so they can get by and live another day? Well, for our answer, let's take a look at Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 27, as we read here this morning. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. Now, granted, the Holy Spirit, thank God, rests on people of all ages. And we should, all of us, be open to the movements of the Spirit in our lives, what the Spirit is calling us to here and now in this world. But today, on this day, the presentation of our Lord, we hear about Simeon and Anna, two elders of the faith. Just maybe the Spirit has been working away at these elders of the faith over decades of trials and wars and relationships and successes and failures. And we risk missing out on what they have to offer when we fail to stop and listen, to ask questions, and to hear stories. Can we sit long enough to listen? Can we put those devices that we carry around with us down long enough to hear and to see the light of Christ in their faithfulness? None of us will ever again in this life sit beside Esther and hear her stories. None of us will ever again in this life receive a kiss on the cheek from Emmy and have the remnants of her, her makeup that go with us the rest of the day. So is today about Jesus or about Simeon and Anna? Well, yes, it's about Jesus. Of course, it's always about Jesus, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people and Israel. And that light then reflected in the blessings of Simeon and Anna. And it's also about Esther and Kurt and Emmy and about Shirley and Carol and Kent. And about the Holy Spirit revealing light to us. Light to give us hope in times that are troubling. The light of Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the face of inexhaustible Nazi hatred. The light of Nelson Mandela in the face of apartheid. The light of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the face of crippling injustice. The light of countless people now doing anything they can for the sake of their neighbors living in fear. The light of Jesus shining in each of them by the movement of the Spirit, by the grace of God. May the light of Christ shine in each and every one of you. But perhaps even more so today, with so much pain around you, sometimes feeling like there is nothing that you can do. Don't miss out on the persistent flame that emanates from our elders of the faith. May we take hope in their light. In Jesus' name, amen.